As you can see in your bulletin, if you would be so kind to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll be reading some verses there in 1 Timothy 3. If you would like, you are welcome to put your finger or part of the bulletin in Acts chapter 6. We will also be referring to a few things in Acts 6. So, brothers and sisters, I think it's at least fitting to say a couple of things as we deal with the office bearing of deacons, and that is, you will notice in the text that the deacons are referred to as men. It's not my intention, because I know the ARP polity quite well. It's not my intention here to deal with whether male or female deacons is appropriate, but the text that we're dealing with this morning, as well as Acts chapter 6, deals with men as deacons. My emphasis, and Blakely knows this because I've spoken with Blakely this week, my emphasis here today is this whole issue of serving. So, taking this from the scriptures, I do believe that all of life and all of our church polity and everything needs to come from the scriptures. And the issue that I just spoke about is having discussion in the ARP, in the Synod. Will probably come forward again in June, but we'll see how that all goes. But with that, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 8 through 13. I just want you to notice in the first seven verses of chapter 3 is that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's talking about the office of elder, and says, for example, verse 1, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, which is elder, he desires a noble task, and then gives the qualifications for an elder in the church. And then he actually expands it along a couple of ways. One is in verse 6, not a recent convert. I'll likely refer to that even in the office of deacons. But in verse 7, it goes beyond the church, and that is well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Then let's pick up with verse 8 and go through 13. And the reason I'm doing it is because in I think every one of your Bibles, the second word in verse 8 is likewise. So Paul is referring to the first seven verses that he has already written to Timothy. Hear then God's word. Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we ask you to open your word even further to us. You have enabled us to read it, to hear it, and we pray that you would be gracious and give us much of your spirit, and we will bless you for your instruction and your guidance in our lives. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. couple of teenage boys were given tasks to do by mom. And the older boy had a habit of doing things a little bit slipshod. By slipshod, I mean giving instructions to clean his bedroom, but then he would pull the shades, room darkening shades, and turn the light off, and then he would attempt to clean his room that way. But the younger teenage boy, he realized what his brother was doing, and mom happened to see that the younger teenage boy was going behind the older one and doing what the older one should have done, and he was doing it. So mom said to him, "Are you doing this because you owe your brother something?" And he said, "No, I see where the Bible says, 'Whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant.' And I'd like to be great, so I thought that I would follow what the Bible teaches." Now, whether this actually happened or not, I'm not about to conjecture, but it proves a point. It gives us a point. And this young teenager is really how we begin our topic here this morning about speaking about deacons. A servant. That in one word really describes the office and person of a deacon. If you've paid attention to the text, you can see that the Apostle Paul is saying that a deacon, it's necessary for a deacon to have many of the same qualifications as elders. Very simply, I've got 3 points that I want to bring to our attention here, excuse me, this morning, and that is, what's the basis of the calling for deacons? What are the barriers to the calling? And what are the blessings to the calling? So, the basis of the calling, let's turn to Acts chapter 6 first. Acts chapter 6, very, very briefly. You will notice right at the very beginning, in the first 7 verses, even though deacons aren't mentioned, the word deacon isn't mentioned, but there's a problem in the church. You see in verse 1 that there's a complaint by the Hellenists because they're widows, and it was against the Jews, those who were converted Jews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." Now, it wasn't that serving tables was beneath them, is that there was a need within the congregation that the widows, that those who were needy, who they were attempting to minister to, was increasing. Now you can imagine their situation. Pentecost had just occurred. Just like that, 3,000 people are converted, and it looks like that even more were converted day by day, and the church is just, it's growing unbelievably. So the disciples are going, "Wait a minute, we're called to preach and to pray and to pray and to preach, and we can't keep this up." You know, sometimes we feel we got way too much to do, and I'm gonna die if I keep this up. Well, you can imagine this is a situation that they were in. So they simply said, verse 3, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute." There's the good reputation that we saw in 1 Timothy 3, "full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So they chose 7 men. And it's obvious by the names that they weren't Jewish. And they chose them. They set them before the apostles. They prayed, verse 6, and laid their hands on them. And I want you to notice verse 7. It's very important. Luke records this under the inspiration of the Spirit, for sure. But Luke records this, and it's very important that we get this, as we say, when we obey the Lord in the way that he has designed out of his word. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So you see how that God was pleased to bless when this took place, and they chose these seven deacons when there were people being overlooked. Now, thank you. I needed that too. If the truth were known, I grabbed a bottle of water before the service and I left it in the parlor there. So thank you. So in short, the office of deacon is instituted by God in order to take care of those more practical needs in the congregation. Sometimes, within the Church of Christ, we tend to think of deacons as glorified janitors. But Acts chapter 6 is very clear. This is a spiritual calling within the bride of Christ. This is taking care of practical needs within the congregation who are full of the Spirit. Let's not lose how the first deacons were chosen in Acts chapter 6. And this being filled with the Spirit, he is saying that these who were chosen were known for their holy lives. They were convinced that they had spiritual life in Jesus. So, the diaconal office is a spiritual office. And in the judgment of the congregation, they chose seven men to serve the more practical needs in the congregation. Now, as we work on through it, deacons are serving, not making, or trying to make sure that people are not neglected, legitimate needs are not neglected. And honestly, deacons very often have to deal with financial needs. And here's one thing we have to be careful of. When we give the deacons the freedom to deal with financial needs within the congregation and outside the congregation, and that is, we don't think in terms of return or risk. It requires wisdom. I get that, as we say. But we should give the deacons the necessary resources, the charge, and the training in order to minister to people and families in Christ's name. Taking care of the building and grounds, I believe it's definitely part of this spiritual calling and this ministry. Deacons have the privilege to do whatever that they are called to do along these practical lines. It's a spiritual calling to take care of the more practical needs and do what they can do in order that the elders, both teaching and ruling, can do the job within the church of praying and preaching. Now, obviously, we have ruling elders, we have teaching elders. There is some mingling between the two of them. Let me just put it this way, is that elders are called, be they teaching or ruling, are called to shepherd and oversee the flock of Christ. Now, I have one more passage I want us to look at. You go to the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 22, and I apologize to Jared and Curtis that I didn't give advance warning on that, but 2 Kings chapter 22, there's one quick reason why I want to go there. Just verses 3 through 7, this is where godly King Josiah is going to fix the temple. And he says, the writer of Kings records for us that there's been a collection held, verse 4, and verse 5 says, "And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house," that is, to the carpenters, to the builders, to the masons, "and let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house, but no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that's delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." All right, now, when we read these words, "no accounting shall be asked from them," we're probably going, wait a minute. No, deacons, they've got to give accounting for the funds. Here's what it's saying, that we are not to, as a congregation, we are not to allow the deacons to nickel and dime things to death. That's what this is saying. It's also saying that when the house of the Lord was being rebuilt, it was skilled labor that rebuilt it. So I think what the text is saying here in 2 Kings is that you spend in a way that shows how much you care for the house of God. That you can see by the way things are maintained, by the way things are done. We're not talking about carelessness in the funds, but we're saying that why do we have third or fourth grade work when we wouldn't put up with that kind of workmanship in our own homes? I'm not saying that's happening here at New Sterling. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful to hear what the deacons are doing, especially with regards to the manse. But I think there's one sentence that we could always use, and that is, whatever we are going to do, let's do it right. Very simple. Whether we're doing something here in the church, building, hiring someone to do that work, whatever we can do to do it right and to ultimately be proud of the fact that this is God's house, then let's do it. We have every reason to be thankful, and I realize I'm the moderator. We're waiting for a pastor. I realize, but there's things that I'm seeing here at New Sterling, and you have every reason, brothers and sisters, to be thankful for what the Lord has given you here. And I urge you not to squander it, but to be ever liberal and say, this is what we want people to know. This is God's house, and we want to serve the Lord in our office. Let's make one more mention. We don't have to turn there in Acts chapter 6, but one more mention about those that are chosen. Five of the seven names that were chosen as deacons are never heard from again. Let me just make the application. They were true servants. They didn't need their name to be put out there. It's not about building my name. It's about doing what God has called me to do as a true servant. But what are some of the barriers to a calling as a deacon? Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, you can see in verse 8, I've already made some mention of it, is that deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, and they got to have a good reputation both inside and outside of the church. You know how hard it is if someone is double-tongued. You don't trust that individual. You don't know what they're going to say behind your back. And what we need to be sure of is that deacons who serve are to have their yes to be yes and their no to be no. The deacon's not to be a drunk. It's very clear. Wine is not forbidden, but the abuse of it is. Now, here's one that we go, well, I don't think that's a problem, but I think it could be, and that is that deacons are not to have a love of money. How could a deacon have a love of money? One, a deacon could be reluctant to spend money in taking care of God's house, God's property. A deacon can show a love of money by being reluctant to help the poor, whether it's within the church or outside of the church. Sometimes a love of money can show up when a person favors another person because of his or her money. Decisions are made because they're influenced wrongly by a person who has money. Would you want a person to be a deacon who you happen to know that outside the church is willing to receive money under the table? So you see why Timothy says to, or why Paul says to Timothy, must have a good reputation. And I've made the application both within the church and outside the church. Now, also, who becomes a deacon? You don't become a Christian today and then a deacon tomorrow. Scripture says, not a novice. Reason for that is that when you grow a tree, you got to make sure that the tree is rooted in the ground to be able to take the storms. Our lives need to have some testing before a person is chosen to be a deacon, even an elder, but the emphasis here this morning is on deacons. So this serving, as I said, there can be hindrances to it. The hindrances can be the love of money, can be even the love of money within the congregation. And I just ask us all to look within ourselves. Do we show that? So going further in it, our characteristic as Christians, as those who love Christ, the scriptures show that elders and deacons are to be examples of what the scriptures say they should be, and then we follow those examples. So we as a congregation, as members in the church, ought to be showing this servant spirit, this servant attitude, not a me-first attitude. Deacons need to know, for example, what needs are within the congregation. Now, that requires sometimes some confidentiality. Please don't be too proud to speak to a deacon if you have a particular need. You have a particular struggle. Something that you think deacons can help with. Well, the thing does apply to elders as well. But there is a certain confidentiality even in both of those examples. And that when you know of others who have particular needs, that we don't keep our mouths shut, but that we're more than willing to speak up, and we're more than willing to be servants to be able to tell those, whether elders or deacons, which I'm primarily dealing with deacons today, take care of some of the more practical aspects within the Church of Christ. We are emulating, we're copying the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord, who was the ultimate servant. So whatever gifts the Lord has given us, let us use them, that even the deacons are hearing from the congregation, how can I help? How can I do this? Is there a way that I can be of assistance to you? Make sure that the deacons don't find out that you are on their do not call list, right? It's very important. So if there's things that need updating, that need fixing, that need repairing, rather than grumbling about it, which I'm not saying that that happens here at New Sterling, but that you're able to speak with these things freely to deacons. I want to look over my notes. Here's the third thing. The third thing I had written down here is that the blessings of the calling of the deacon comes down to this. Look at how Paul says it to Timothy in verse 13. That deacons, for those who serve well as deacons, gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So I trust you see, even if it's just by way of a reminder, that this has to do with serving as deacons. The servant, first to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then an evidence of being in Jesus is to be a servant among the people of God. Let's not forget what Paul has just said to Timothy about the result of good deaconing, which is that there is a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. There's a spiritual connection to a spiritual calling. That's the simplest way to put it. And as we practice that ourselves in the congregation, with the office bearers setting the example and we following suit, it also blesses us in our spiritual walk. So I just ask us all that we be like the teenager, be he real or not, whoever would be great among you, let him be your servant. And may we indeed be servants of our Lord Jesus Christ to one another and walk the way the Lord has prescribed for us.